Welcome to the Naked Wellness Podcast. I'm your host, nutritionist Michaela Schifferly, the founder of KJ Wellness. On this podcast, we'll talk about all things nutrition and wellness. We'll cut through the bullshit information out there, debunk health myths, interview health experts, and give you actionable steps to help you become the best version of yourself. So go grab yourself a nice hot cup of coffee and strap in to hear the cold hard truths about health. Welcome back to the Naked Wellness Podcast. Today I have a very special guest with me. I have Jess Curtis, who has recently finished studying her degree in nutrition sciences, which, woohoo, very exciting. She eats a majority plant-based diet. So that is exactly what we're going to be talking about today, like pairing obviously her nutrition qualifications with also what she lives and preaches and breathes as well, which is very exciting. So welcome, Jess.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited.
Yeah, we're really going to talk about like how can you hit your nutrients on a plant-based diet. And we were just having a quick chat before this as well, and I was saying that plant-based diets amazing, but you do need to know how to do them correctly. Mm-hmm. And if you want to make it sustainable in a really healthy way, it's so important to make sure that you are hitting all of your nutrients necessary. So we'll dive into that, like how is it possible, how do you kind of balance everything today. So that is what we're here for. But did you want to start off by just sharing with us your health journey, if you've had one, or you know, what kind of led you to starting to eat a plant-based diet?
Yeah, for sure. So my kind of health journey, I suppose, started probably 6 or even 7 years ago when I was really struggling with some bad health issues. I had like chronic tonsillitis for like 3 years straight, and my health was just shot. And I spent so much time going in and out of doctor's offices looking for help and asking so many questions. And that's kind of when I realized that sadly doctors don't have much nutrition training. And so that was kind of the point for me that I realized I had to do the research myself. I had to look for answers myself. So that's actually probably where my plant-based journey also started at the same time. I was watching like documentaries and things online. I don't even remember the specific documentary that I watched, but it was something that really triggered for me like the questions of what is meat doing to our bodies. Like we're looking at all of the hormones that are pumped into them and antibiotics and all of those things, and I started asking questions. And so I started a little challenge for myself and thought, this is the problem though. I'm one of those people that can't do anything like half. I have to jump straight in. And so it's like cold turkey for me. So one day I went from eating like a normal Western diet, and then the next day it was like plant-based, no meat, no eggs, no dairy, like the full works. And so I followed that for a couple of weeks and my tonsillitis actually healed up. And I started feeling so, so much better. I had so much energy. I was going to sports training and like running laps and feeling so, so good. So yeah, that's kind of where it really started for me. So initially it was more of a health perspective. And then over the years, it's kind of transformed into like an ethical perspective and sustainability as well for me. But yeah, that's kind of how it started. And then from there, I needed more answers. So I went on and did a nutrition course online, and I found that that just wasn't enough for me. I feel like I wasn't happy with what I had learned. So then I went off to uni to study nutrition science, and that's where the ball really started rolling for me.
I love that. What a journey.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that is so cool. So when we say plant-based diet, what does that mean? What does it mean to actually eat a plant-based diet?
Yeah, for sure. So I think the term plant-based gets thrown around a lot these days, yeah, and it can be really confusing to understand what it actually means. And I think the important thing to realize is it does mean different things to different people. So we obviously have the term plant-based, and then we have vegetarian, pescatarian, and vegan. And they all kind of differently fit under the term plant-based. So what I like to think of plant-based is it's just predominantly eating plant foods. But the problem is when we're talking about eating plant foods is we can get really confused with eating vegan junk foods. And that's typically not what we mean by plant foods, because that is not a good representation of how to eat a healthy lifestyle. So by eating plant-based, we're looking at whole foods like fruits and vegetables and nuts and seeds and legumes. And what we were saying before, it does need to be really well planned, because it can be easy to not meet the nutrient requirements that we need to be healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so glad that you touched on like the vegan junk food as well, because vegan obviously definitely got a name for itself in being a really healthy way of eating and living your life. And there are definitely foods out there that are vegan that don't necessarily fall under that category. And now the options are so massive.
Like we're seeing more and more of them in the supermarket. So much marketing around vegan food at the moment. And I mean, that kind of food is helpful for people that are starting out with a plant-based diet and you're not sure where to get your protein from. So it can be really helpful starting out. But if you are eating those foods long term, it's probably not the best for your health.
Absolutely. And I know that I saw on your story, maybe it was a week or so ago, something that you touched on, which I thought totally agree with you on this. And I really thought it was a really good message to be sending. And somebody had asked whether you call yourself a vegan or not. And you just spoke a lot about like not necessarily putting labels on these kind of things. And I think that was such a strong message to send out there that it is okay to eat, you know, a plant-based diet and not have a dead set label on who you are and what you're doing. And I think that's a pretty cool way of looking at it.
Yeah, I think that's something that I've struggled with over the 6 or 7 year period that I've been sort of plant-based is I've kind of been strict vegan, I've been vegetarian, I've been pescatarian, and the labels kind of really played with my head, like and what I could and couldn't eat. And I just found myself obsessing over like whether I could eat that because it's not vegan or I might have like egg whites in it or something, and I couldn't eat it. And it just became a really unhealthy obsession. And I just found myself feeling really restricted. And I feel like that can almost fall into the category of eating disorders as well. And that's something that I'm finding a lot with talking to people who are like vegan, vegetarian, because it is, there is a huge mental side to it as well, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. And I actually spoke to one of my friends about this a little while ago about when she first went vegetarian and was dabbling in that. She did actually, you know, when she started, it was to maybe look a certain way, and it did come from that restrictive eating side of it. So it definitely is important to also, I guess, ask yourself before putting a label on something or starting this, like, what are the reasons behind it? And, you know, if you take yourself for an example, it started because of a health problem that you wanted to see if it would fix or help. And then from there, you went and did your research as well. And it's led to also ethical reasons.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's why I've become a bit more flexible now. So my reasonings behind it are still obviously health reasons, but also I'm a huge sustainability nut. So I will look at foods and I will make the choice of whether I'm happy to eat it with how it's been processed, how it's been grown, all of that sort of thing. So I take that into consideration rather than whether it fits inside a label, whether it's vegan or vegetarian or whatnot. And I find that so much easier.
A bit more of like a balanced approach to it.
Yeah, for sure.
Good. So, talk us through what are some of the benefits of eating a plant-based diet?
Yeah, for sure. There are so many benefits. I think the main benefits are that it is like typically low in saturated fat, like the unhealthy fat and cholesterol. So it can be really helpful in eliminating and maybe even reversing chronic health conditions. And as we did kind of mention on before, you mentioned about weight loss, it can be a really easy way to maintain a healthy weight because you typically are eating foods that are full of fiber, keep you fuller for longer, and just keep regular bowel movements. So typically, it is a really healthy way of eating.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as well, like keeping you fuller for longer is a massive one. I think as well, like the volume that you can eat on a plant-based diet is a lot larger than if you were eating a lot more of like the processed Western foods that are out there as
Think that's an
well.
interesting thing too, and we kind of touched on that before we started recording about like you have to do a vegan, vegetarian diet, whatever, a plant-based diet correctly. And I think that's one of the things that people don't do properly. They don't eat enough food because you do have to eat in quite a bit of volume compared to a normal diet. You do get to eat a lot more food. And if you're just eating the same amount of food that you were eating on a normal diet, you're probably going to be under eating and macronutrients as well.
100%. And one of the other benefits of a plant-based diet is gut health as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Incredible. Because what is it like? You should, like, everybody should be striving to include, is it 30 different plant-based foods across a week?
Yeah, I think that's I think it is 30 actually, because the plant proof, he talks about it a lot, and I'm big
Yeah,
fan.
he does.
And it can be quite overwhelming to try and do to start with when we are all like creatures of habit. And I find myself going to the supermarket and just picking up the same vegetables every single time and not really
100%.
trying new foods. But I really love his approach and looking at like a goal to try one new food every week or one new recipe. And I think that's a really great way to increase variety in our diet, which is really, really great for our gut microbiome.
Yeah, because we live in a world where we are so lucky that we do have access to your favorite fruits or vegetables all year round now. So it is so easy to be like, yeah, I love capsicums. I'll just get capsicum every single time at the supermarket. But it even if you look at the pricing of fruit and veggies as well, it kind of gives you like a good gauge of what's in season and what's not in season. So if you kind of go off that, it's like, okay, I'll go for a cheaper option this week compared to a last month or the month before. It could be something totally different, which is also another great way of adding that variety in to help your little gut microbiomes be
Yeah,
happy.
absolutely.
Have you noticed much of like a cost difference since going, I guess like it's been quite a few years as well, but since being vegan, oh, sorry, plant-based to not?
Yeah, absolutely. I think especially over the COVID period too, like where food has been quite scarce in some supermarkets. But typically the protein sources for a plant-based diet, so we're looking at chickpeas and legumes, things that you can buy in bulk or canned are really, really cheap. So per gram for protein compared to a meat or egg substitute, it is so, so much cheaper. Like we're looking at, like, say roughly 30 cents per gram of protein compared to like $6 or $7, roughly. Like that's just a rough estimate. But when over a week or two, that is a huge difference in saving money. But as you said, we need to do it properly. So combining our proteins and using different proteins and changing it up, not just having chickpeas in every single meal.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and touching on that, and then also back to the 30 different plant-based foods, that's also taking into consideration things like your herbs and all that as well. So if you really make your meals nice and flavorsome with different fresh herbs or whatever it is, like that all counts, or nuts and seeds and all of
Yeah,
those
that's it.
things.
The nuts and seeds, they all add up. And maybe even using quinoa is a really great substitute instead of rice. And if you're looking to bulk up your protein.
Yeah, love it. So good. So plant-based, I feel, is becoming so popular at the moment. Why is this happening? Do you feel like it's for like the ethical and the environmental reasons? Are there more studies coming out about like health reasons around it as well?
Yeah, sure. So I think you are right. There are a lot of studies being done at the moment, and there is a lot more research now showing that eating plant-based and fewer animal products can help prevent or reverse ill health or chronic health conditions. And we are seeing this more and more. Like I think before we only had really a few studies, and we had the Blue Zones, which are a great example. I love looking at Blue Zone studies, but we're seeing more and more of these studies to show that we can eat a plant-based diet and we can have good health outcomes. And we are seeing more and more studies. So we've got the Blue Zone diet, for example, which is a great study to look at that shows eating more plants. So we're looking at lots of different colors and we're looking at legumes. And they do, I think this is what's really interesting. They do also eat dairy on occasion and fish on occasion and eggs on occasion. They're not strictly vegan, they're not strictly vegetarian. They are typically plant-based, so it is more of a flexible approach. And in these studies, we are seeing these people living to like 100 years old, which is amazing. And typically, we don't really see that in Western culture at all. So, yeah, I think it's really interesting to look at these studies and look at what they're doing.
That is so cool. And I think it's also so interesting to highlight again that it's that flexible approach. They're not like, nope, I'm never eating any of that, like super restrictive mindset about it. It's like when and if it's there or available or needed, whatever, they eat it and enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So interesting. So, talking about like the nutrients and all of that, do you find it hard to meet all of your nutrients on a plant-based diet? And how do you go about it to make sure that you are meeting all of the necessary requirements?
Yeah, it can be kind of hard starting out when you're not really sure what to be looking for, and maybe you've never really been aware of what micronutrients you might need. Like if you've never had blood tests to tell you whether your iron's fine, or you might be a little bit low on the lower side. So I think it's really important if you are looking at starting a plant-based diet to first of all get your blood work done and maybe work alongside your doctor or a health professional. Because starting out, it can be really overwhelming to try and get all the right food groups. So we obviously know that iron is a really important one, but there are a few other important ones to consider when going on a plant-based diet. So we're looking at like iodine as well, and zinc and vitamin C, vitamin D, like all of those really important ones. So we can go into those a little bit more in detail if you'd like, but I think it really is important to make sure you are looking at your blood work and not just estimating before supplementing.
Yeah. And then I guess like looking at the blood work, seeing what you can tweak or adjust within your diet, and then look at supplementing from that.
Yeah, it's actually really interesting because I experienced this probably in my early days of going plant-based and supplementing. I had no idea about supplementing, and I was like, oh, I'm really tired. And then someone's like, oh, maybe you might be low in iron. So me went off to the chemist, I was like, I'll grab some iron tablets, like I'll be fine, that will give me a little pick me up. And I'd also gone to the doctor to get blood work done to see if I was iron deficient. So I started taking these supplements, and then I was like feeling worse and worse, and I was like, what is going on? So I went back for my results from the doctor, and he's like, oh, you actually have too much iron in your system. And so sent me off for some tests, and it turned out that I had hemochromatosis, which is the gene
Wow.
where you hold on to more iron. So I didn't need to be supplementing. I was actually making myself worse. So I think that's why it's really, really important to don't guess with your supplements. Like actually go and get your blood work done and work with a professional, because it's not so black and white, and you can like overdo it.
Oh my God, that's so interesting. Yeah,
Funny.
100%. Yeah, wow. So
Yeah.
definitely like go get the blood work done, get the answers, and then take it from there.
Yeah, and that's why I always say to people now, I'm like, don't guess, just go and get your blood work done, and then we can go from there, because you just don't know where your levels are at, and you could be supplementing something that you don't even need, and it's just going to be a waste of money because you're going to be paying it out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Australians have some of the most expensive pee for that reason. Like, we supplement like there is no tomorrow.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah.
Yeah, because on social media, one person will be like, yeah, take this, it'll make you feel X. And everyone else is like, oh, great, without even knowing individually if they actually need it or not.
And they're like, why is my pee fluoro?
Yeah, definitely. It's so interesting. So, I guess obviously, when you went plant-based, you did notice a massive difference in what you were experiencing health-wise, which is pretty cool. Are there any like major differences that you have noticed since going plant-based?
Yeah, I think mainly for me, it was the energy factor to begin with. That was something that was really noticeable. Like I went from not feeling energetic when I was training. So I was playing hockey at the time, and we'd train twice a week, and I was just feeling so exhausted. And then all of a sudden, I just got this surge of energy, and I just felt so good in my training. And I feel like I could breathe properly, and I was recovering way better. And also in the health aspect, I found that if I did have dairy accidentally, I'd get really sinusy and like felt really ill. Like it was like a cold was coming on. That's how I kind of explain it. And that still happens now when I accidentally do have dairy. But yeah, so I just felt better within myself, but it was typically more energy. And probably a positive side effect was my skin cleared up, and I felt like my skin was glowing and my hair was growing a lot faster. But I do really think it is just a general health improvement overall. And it probably was because I wasn't eating like processed food as much. So when I kind of transitioned, I was eating more whole foods. I was getting my protein from legumes and quinoa and beans and tofu, rather than foods that were saturated fatty acids, or they were highly processed, lots of additives and things like that, which typically was my diet beforehand.
Yeah, okay. And I guess touching on protein as well, because this is a question that comes through so often, is how to make sure that you are hitting protein requirements. if somebody specifically, let's say, like they're doing like working out weight sessions as well on a plant-based diet?
Yeah, I think there's a huge stigma around getting your protein on a plant-based diet. And I get questioned about it all the time. And it's really funny because I don't know if you've seen those things on like TikTok and Instagram. It's just like laughing about vegans who are protein deficient. And it's just like, we're not protein deficient. And I find it really interesting that people think that we can't get protein, but there's protein in so many different foods. And it really isn't that hard. Like, yes, it takes a little bit more planning, but it is achievable. And the way that I like to think about it is, I don't know if you've seen the food representation and it's like a palm sized of protein. I like to think about it like that because I typically don't like tracking. I just don't like how it affects me mentally. So I like to think of it as a palm of protein. And your question, I think, was how does one know how much protein to eat? And it does really depend on how active you are, but it also depends on your body weight. So it typically is on the higher end. If you are actively lifting weights, you probably do want to be eating on the higher end. So it's going to be about 1 gram to 2 grams max per kilogram of body weight. So for me, I like to eat around 120 grams of protein. So I'll just break that up over my 3 to 4 meals during the day and just make sure I'm having like 1 to 2 palms of protein in my meal for each meal. And anything that I get extra, like a protein shake or whatnot, is a bonus. So I think that's a really good way to look at it. Because I think it can be really hard to fall into the trap of wanting to track everything. And I don't think that's necessarily a healthy option. If you like tracking, for sure, go for it. If it makes you feel like you're in more control of your food and you know that you're getting enough protein, then that's great. But I think we need to stop stressing about where our protein's coming from because we are getting it and it is in most foods.
Foods that I guess people wouldn't even realize, like your nut butters and that kind of thing. Like it pops up in actually like your oats without even, before you even add the protein powder or whatever, like there's protein there.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it like the thing that we don't realize is it all adds up. So if you're putting a little sprinkle of hemp seeds on your breakfast and you're putting a little bit in your protein shake or whatever you're having, all these little things like pumpkin seeds, they all add up. And so throughout the day, you probably are hitting your protein target. And it can be really surprising how much you can get in the day if you plan it correctly.
Absolutely. So,
Just knowing those protein sources, like get on Google, have a little search, what's high in protein, and just add those foods to your day. However, it could be in snacks, sprinkled on top, whatever.
I love that. So, do you kind of like roughly have an idea of like the different meals that you're having throughout the day, throughout the weeks, to make sure that you are meeting those nutrient requirements that you are? Like, I know that you mentioned you don't track or anything like that, which is yeah, I'm the same page with you in that regard. So do you kind of have like a rough idea?
I'm so unorganized with my meals. I typically like to like do a bit of a meal plan when I go to the supermarket on the weekend. So I know what I'm having and I know that I'm definitely having a protein source with the meals. But most of the time, well, especially since I've been studying, it's probably going to be different when I'm in the real world now. I would typically have protein in the fridge ready to go. So if I've cooked up some tempeh or some tofu, I can quickly just add it into my meals and I've got my hemp seeds and my pumpkin seeds ready to go. Yeah, it's probably a bad example because I'm quite unorganized. But for my lunches, I do typically meal prep. So I know that I'm getting like a good protein-rich meal at lunch. And so then I've only really got breakfast to deal with, snacks, and then dinner.
Yeah. And I think as well, like the fact that you don't have something instructional that a lot of other people would be able to resonate with that and probably be on the same page. And I think it just goes to show that even on a plant-based diet, you can still meet all of the nutrient requirements needed without having to be super structured and rigid with each meal. Like you can have options in hand to throw together and make the meal that's necessary.
Yeah, I think that's the thing too. Like, I think when you are in the gym trying to build muscle, you typically do think that you have to eat like a typical bodybuilder meal. So if you are to plant-based that, maybe it will look like rice, broccoli, and some tofu. But that's not how we have to eat to be able to get our protein in. Like, we can still get creative. We can still play with flavors and make it really nice. And it can be really simple, but it just does take a little bit of planning, knowing where your protein sources are coming from. So if tofu is what you like to eat, then that's great. Have it marinating in the fridge ready to go so you can chuck it into meals. But also what we were saying before, like, change it up, have some tempeh in there. If you're not used to using tempeh, play with some flavors. It's really good with some soy sauce and things like that. Like, it doesn't have to be structured and boring. Like, you can still have fun with your meals.
Yeah, I love it. So, when it comes to socializing with a plant-based diet, how do you kind of navigate your way around this one?
It can be so hard. And I think in the beginning, I used to get so upset if there wasn't something on the menu that I could have. And like, it was really challenging. I think we are really lucky though. Like, plant-based lifestyle has become really popular. So most restaurants do have options for you. When I first started out, like, I would go to somewhere like a pub or something for a meal, and there'd be absolutely nothing that I could have. And I'd have to order like a bowl of steamed vegetables. It was so upsetting. But now, like, you can go most places and get a proper meal, which is great. But I think planning ahead, calling the restaurant, making sure that they know that you're coming and that they can accommodate for you, because most of them can. It's not that hard to pop a meal together. But yeah, I also think making plans so you know that you're going to be getting in these good meals. And also, it doesn't have to be perfect. Like, you don't have to eat perfect all the time. But just let people know, because I think there can be a bit of a stigma around letting people know that you are plant-based. But most people are understanding. So just don't be so hard on yourself. If you do mess up, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I think that's a great one. Like, yeah, well, at the end of the day, we're humans, we're not robots. We're not programmed to be perfect, so it's okay.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no point like starving yourself while you're out with your friends, because then you'll just go home and you'll be so hungry. And also, being social is fun. We're human beings. We need to socialize. So if that means going out for healthy, yummy, or not healthy food, just do it, you
Yeah, enjoy your life and like the
know?
lifestyle that you're creating.
Yeah, for sure.
And I know that we've probably kind of touched on this one already, like with just having the food available in the fridge and all of that, but any other tips that you have if somebody is lives a really, really busy lifestyle, wants to eat a plant-based diet or is eating a plant-based diet, how to make sure they are still getting all those nutrients, being kind of on top of things whilst living that busy lifestyle?
Yeah, I think we mentioned it before, like, planning ahead. So you're going to the supermarket and you know what ingredients that you need. And not everybody loves meal prepping. It can feel like it's really time consuming, but it does save a lot of time during the week and a lot of effort during the week. So I typically will like to plan my lunches and just prep individual foods. So I'll prep sweet potatoes, some quinoa, things that are ready to go in the fridge. I just find it so much easier, and it makes it so less stressful during the week just to know that there is food ready and available. And if I have no food, I have nothing planned, I can quickly pop together like a little water bowl or something. But I think in the beginning, if you are overwhelmed, there are some really good meal prep companies out there, and you can order ingredients to make with the recipe. But you can also order like full meals, which can be really great if you want to order, say, three meals during the week, and then you only have to prep two or three meals during the week. So I think that's a really great way to start out and just be prepared, because it can be really overwhelming in the beginning to make sure we're getting the right amounts of food. So enough protein, we're having healthy carbs, and yeah, we're getting all of our micronutrients.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And I guess also do something today that your future self is going to thank you for. So if you have a little bit of like extra time or spare time or anything like that, maybe batch cook up a lentil like bolognese or shepherd's pie, something that you can chuck in the freezer. So if there is a day that things are just so hectic, you know that you have almost like a plan B there.
Yeah, so true. And freezer meals. Oh my goodness. I did not make the most of freezer meals to begin with. But now, if I have some spare food left over, or I've got some time up my sleeve, I'll prep some stuff like a lentil lasagna or some spaghetti bolognese sauce and just have it in the freezer ready to go. It
Yeah, I love
makes it
that.
easier.
So much easier. Oh, so much. I think Everything that you have covered and touched on is going to help so many people so much who are starting off, or even if they're already eating a plant-based diet. Now, we do have some quick fire questions. Are you ready to go?
I'm ready, yeah.
Okay, so what is one thing that you must do every morning to set your day up?
Have a glass of water.
Yeah.
But in a serious note, I am a huge list person. So I cannot get on with my day unless I've written myself a list for the day. So I kind of like to break it up into three parts. I'm like to-dos, and then I've got three non-negotiables, and then I've got quick ticks. And if I don't
Good.
plan it out, my brain is so chaotic, and I just get so flustered with my morning. So yeah, one thing I have to do is always make a list and plan my day.
So good. Onto it. Love that. What is one thing that everyone can do every day to improve their life?
I think just moving your body. I think it always doesn't have to be strenuous exercise. It doesn't have to be breaking a sweat. It could just be going for a walk. It could be going for a walk with friends, stretching, something like that. But I think during my time at uni, that's something that's I've really noticed. On the days that I don't move my body and I've just sat at my desk all day, I can just take a huge mental strain, and it can just make you feel so lethargic. And then you don't have an appetite and all of that. So one thing every single day is just move your body. It doesn't have to look the same every day, and it can be social. I think that's a really great way to do it too. Like, involve your friends. It's a great way to catch up with your friends. Go for a walk, go for a jog, go do some yoga. Yeah, just move your body.
So good. What is your favorite quote and why?
My favorite quote, this has been my favorite quote for so long, and it is, don't listen to criticism from someone you wouldn't seek advice from. And I think it just really makes me think, especially having a social media platform where you do tend to get a lot of criticism. Like, don't take that criticism on board if it's not from somebody that you would ask advice from, if it's not somebody that you actually trust their opinion, or their opinion might not even matter because it's not somebody in your friendship group, it's not somebody that you care about, they don't know you. So, yeah.
That
That's my
is so powerful.
favorite.
So good. Now, the final question that I love to ask all of my podcast guests is, in the distant future, when you are looking back at your life, what do you think will be your biggest achievement or one thing that you will be most proud of? And this could be something that you've already achieved, or it could be something that you're hoping to do in the future.
I think looking back, it will be going to uni and getting through. When I started uni, it was during COVID time. So I think we were only on campus 2 weeks, and then we were in lockdown, and then everything went online, and it was so hard. The learning environment was so difficult, and I was so close to just dropping out and not continuing. But I met some really great friends and pushed through, and I'm just so proud of myself that I did, because it was really hard and I was struggling with chronic fatigue at the time. So like, I'd be falling asleep during lectures, and I just always felt like I was behind. But yeah, I think that's probably my most proudest moment, is getting through and making it to the end of the degree. So
Yeah, well done.
that might be my proudest moment, but I hope there's some proud ones coming up in the future too.
100%. That is so good. And congratulations. Like it is a big achievement to get through those degrees and do it all. So well done.
Thank you.
Now, tell the audience, do you have anything coming up that you're wanting to share with them, and where can the listeners find you?
Yep, so they can find me on my Instagram, which is just JC Health. And I don't know, the future is not really planned out at this point. I'm not really sure what I have coming up, but I would like to think that I have some creative things coming up, like ebooks or fun things like that.
Amazing.
But it's pretty early days since I've finished. So yeah, we'll see. Hopefully more sharing on Instagram, more healthy recipes and tips, health tips. So fingers
Love
crossed.
that. And your direct link to your Instagram will be in the show notes anyway, so they'll have to go over there and follow you to see what does pop up and if you do put anything out there, which is exciting.
This guys.
Absolutely. But thank you so much for coming on and sharing so much amazing information and research and tips and all of that of how to live a plant-based diet. So thank you so much. Or plant-based diet lifestyle, I should say.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Naked Wellness Podcast. I hope that you really enjoyed it and that you got something out of it. I would love to connect with you. So just head over to my Instagram, which is KJ Wellness with three S's. Send me a DM. Let me know what your favorite part about today's episode was. But I will speak to you in the next episode very soon. Until then, you take care. Bye.